morning, evening, afternoon, or twilight, depending on where you are, what part of the world you're in, or what time you're downloading this podcast to see how I predict the future. This is John St. Germain, the voice of the Crystal Silence League, welcomes you once again to the Crystal Silence League Hour, brought to you by Lucky Mojo Radio Network. My goodness, I'm glad to be here. This is part three of our discussion of the fourth transformative branch of Mr. Claude Alexander Conlon's crystal gazing, and this, of course, is healing. We are going in depth about this tonight. We're going to discuss mental healing. We're going to discuss, possibly go into the chakra discussion even deeper. So, my gosh, do stay with us. Grab your crystal balls. Grab a cold drink of your choice. Call your dogs and your cats and your iguanas and your loved ones to come listen. We're going to talk about how to heal yourself with the powers of your mind alone. Stay with us. Come back in 1 minute. I'm back in storm-tossed East Tennessee. We're under a tornado warning here, so if we get blown away, you'll have to tune into another radio network and listen to something else. We really are. There's tornado warnings here. We're under the red dot on the weather map. It's very exciting. You may hear thunder, lightning, and the sound of my terrified tomcat coming in here seeking comfort and assistance. As some of you may know, and many of you may not, the Crystal Silence League was founded in 1917 by Mr. Claude Alexander Conlon for the purpose of spreading and disseminating and projecting prayer and positive affirmation for all in need. People would send their prayers to him on postcards and letters, and three times a day he would project his mighty thoughts and affirmations via crystal ball to all members of the Crystal Silence League who would receive these gift waves, these tonics, via their own crystal balls that they were provided with. The Crystal Silence League fell into the silence with his death in the late 50s, and then it came into being again via the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church a few years ago, I think about 5 years ago, online. And you can go to crystalsilenceleague.org, www.crystalsilenceleague.org, and post prayers online. And prayer is always free on the Crystal Silence League. You can also become a member via donation. And post your prayers and be prayed for by, I'm not exaggerating, thousands of people. It's also our custom to read prayers out loud on the air. I print out a few pages of them, and they're only identified by prayer number, and we'll do that in just a moment. You can purchase a small crystal ball from Crystal Silence League, do your own crystal projections, and there's a couple of books available published by Missionary Independent Spiritual Church that were written by Mr. Conlon. These are also available for $5 each, or you get one free when you buy a crystal from Crystal Silence League. So let's read some of these prayers, and if you will, pray with me for the benefit and recovery of the following people. These are just a few of the hundreds of prayers, and sometimes more than hundreds of prayers, that are posted daily at crystalsilenceleague.org. Also, subscribe to our newsletter. It also is free, and I edit that, so it would be nice if you subscribe to that. So here we go, dear friends. Prayer ID number 40061 EG, who prays that she be helped to beat the disease she's been suffering from for over 2 years and be strong and continue to have faith to remove the obstacles that stand in her way to complete healing from this this terror and fear of this disease. You know, may she be healed, and may she be at peace. Prayer ID number 40060BH, who prays for the health and happiness and protection for her daughter A, her mother C, and herself B. May she be also healed. Prayer ID number 40059HP, who needs white light and healing for TB, who need this is a who's a little beat down by life by now, who's got a good woman who loves him and a roof over his head, but needs some help. We have prayer ID number 40057S, who needs help retrieving what his enemy, Mr. A, has stolen from him. Prayer ID number 40056VG, who needs prayer for RCF, who's been diagnosed with cancer. May he be healed. Prayer ID number 40054BM, who prays for justice. She says she's been found guilty of a crime she didn't commit, and prays that the judge sees that she did not commit this crime, and prays that she is not sent to jail for it. May justice be served in this matter. Prayer ID number 40053KEB, needs that this company decides to help EB with his material and shipment. He needs a miracle. We have prayer ID number 40052JL, is having problems in her life. Every facet of her life is being destroyed by evil. She's lost pets, friends, jobs, business opportunities, family members, cars, homes, and her fiancé. Apparently, this is the result of black magic, and she needs uncrossing, and she needs to have this lifted. Please help remove this curse from her. May she seek professional help for this, I believe, is what she needs, but also may the spiritual forces of the Crystal Silence League help her lift this from her life. Prayer ID number 40051KR, prayers for financial relief, healing, prosperity, removal of obstacles, etc. She needs her path cleared before her. Prayer ID number 40050JH, needs help for blessing Jay and heal him of autism. And we'll have a few more here. We prayer ID number 40048HRH, justice for that A and herself are paid for their work on a public artwork commission. Prayer ID number 40047AT, prays that she receives her advanced certification. We also have another prayer for the removal of all hinks, jinxes, and evil eye from MT, whose diabetes seems to be out of control, which is causing all kinds of health problems. And prayer ID number 40045DP, who prays that our Lord rise up and defeat those who have and continue to persecute our black brothers and sisters. We have a prayer, 40044EB, who prays for her safety. And we have prayer ID number 40043YM, who says he prays that this person L stays away from his daughter T and leaves her alone and quits stalking her. Prayer ID number 40040PM needs help recovering her storage. She was forced to leave an ultra violent situation, and needs her personal belongings returned to her. May she be safe, and may she receive her belongings. Prayer ID number 40035 prays for reconciliation, stronger love, and commitment between herself and her loved one. May all these prayers be answered. May all those in need of comfort and healing be healed, and may those who need peace find peace. And let us take a moment of silence and pray for those in need of prayer. Thank you. It's been an interesting week. I've scoured the internet looking for common sense, and it's very rare. I'd like to tell you a precautionary story. We in New Thought practice attraction and projection, and of course, one of the principles of New Thought is that there were many laws. There was the law of karma, the law of attraction is there, the law of correspondence, and that is that for every thought there's a corresponding reality. That goes hand in hand with the law of attraction. You think and there's a corresponding reality that the thought is attached to. Law of attraction, of course, was lifted, prepackaged, and sold like fast food. Let's law of mictraction is what I call that, you know, by motivational speakers and evangelists. Mega church evangelists even do it. Law of mictraction stuff, and the internet is filled with this and forums and things. And occasionally on my Farcebook feed, some motivational story will come up proving law of mctraction, and there's a story that circulates quite a bit concerning Sylvester Stallone and how he was a homeless actor and how he wrote Rocky and how he had to sell his dog to someone in the liquor store for $150, and then he sold Rocky, the script to Rocky. The amounts vary, but it's usually for about $3,500 or $30,000. It's some ridiculously small amount. And then he bought his dog Butkus back from the guy, but the guy wouldn't sell it to him for the original amount. He had to pay $3,000 for his dog Butkus. And this is told as a inspirational story, and it's been repeated quite a bit. Sylvester Stallone himself has told it back in the days of Rocky. The only problem with the story, and it is very inspirational, except it's not true. And this is a precautionary story for you because you'll find it on all these inspirational websites and law of attraction websites. And here is the precautionary tale. The fact is, and don't take my word for it, research this yourself, that story was created by the marketing department at Paramount to make Sylvester Stallone look like an underdog, like Rocky was an underdog. The problem with it was Rocky was not Sylvester Stallone's first movie. He made several movies before that. Lords of Flatbush is one of them, and he did want as a condition that he was hired for Rocky, but they didn't even know that was him. They watched Lords of Flatbush and they thought one of the other actors was him. They didn't even know they were getting him, but he made several movies before Rocky, and he wasn't homeless. He didn't sell his dog. None of that happened. There's actually a clip of him talking about that on David Letterman, and he tells that story, and David Letterman says, "Is that true?" And he says, "Well, it should be," and he kind of laughed it off. Now, this was it came up on my news feed on Facebook, and I was just thinking, well, you know, that's a good story, but it's not true. And people were saying, "How inspiring! This is great! How wonderful! What a wonderful story!" And a woman came on and said, "It is a good story, but it's not true." And she posted a link that told the facts in the matter, and a lot of these people got angry and said, "Oh, here's the fact police. Throw her off of here. Who are you, the fact police? It doesn't matter if it's true. It's inspirational. Get her out of here. This is terrible. You know, we're all here enjoying this story, and she comes in and ruins it for us. The fact police. Here's the truth. Here comes the fact police. Oh, my God. Here come the jackboots. Here's the truth Nazi." And I said, "Oh, this sounds familiar." So I clicked on the people's names, and I'm not exaggerating. 9 out of 10 of them were members of Law of Attraction Facebook sites. I'm not exaggerating. They were all think and grow rich, and which Napoleon Hill would have is spinning in his grave thinking of that people that he inspired were saying things like don't confuse me with facts, you know, I don't care about the truth, I want to live a fantasy. And they wanted to throw somebody off for saying, you know, this is not a true story, and there are tons of inspiring true stories. If you want a really good story, look at Team Hoyt, you know, the father-son team. The father-son, you know, the son is a paraplegic, and the father trains with them, and they do decathlons. That's a true inspiring story. Much more inspiring than an actor selling a script. Much more inspiring and true. look up Team Hoyt, H-O-Y-T, you know, the father-son Special Olympics team that do decathlons and things, father and son tries. And, you know, it's also a good thing if you ever tell me you don't have time to exercise. You know, this is a guy that works two full-time jobs and still trains decathlon with his handicapped son. So don't tell me you don't have enough time. Just a precautionary tale, And, you know, I some people say I give Facebook a hard time, but, you know, Farcebook is a breeding ground for misinformation and a good way to waste your time as well. Tonight, we're talking about, I want to tell you another story, too, about Facebook. People get on there and argue politics and argue lots of other things, and then they get mad when people don't change their mind. So let me give you another precautionary tale. And this one is a hanger. You might have to think about it. A man was sitting on the floor, hitting himself in the head with a hammer. And eventually his arm got tired, and he stopped, and he said, "Oh, you know what? That's much better." And then he got up off the floor and sat on the couch and said, "You know, that's even better. That's more comfortable." So, you know, think about that next time you try to change someone's opinion, you know, by arguing with them, and you realize the futility of it. That's a story someone told me a long time ago. Tonight we're talking about health. Before we do that, I want to talk to you about our crystal and or rock of the week, and it's rock. It's a rock. And by that, I mean just a piece of rock. And I want to tell you something that I used to do in a group when I used to have groups come over, and I used to go to people's homes and do house parties, basically psychic house parties. And this is a wonderful thing, and I was talking to someone about this today for discharging negativity, anger, fear, past trauma. You get a rock, and by that I mean a rock. You get one of these things that you use in landscaping, a flat round stone 3 or 4 inches in diameter that you can just grip with your hand. You should be able to grip it. This is the sort of stone you would pick up if you're going to throw it through somebody's window. Just a rock, and you can get fancy if you want. You can go get a black obsidian palm stone or a black crystal ball, but a rock, really a rock. And in group, what we would do is take the rock and pass it around in a circle, and we would say, "We are the rock. You are the rock. Take the rock. We are the rock. Here is the rock." And we would identify with the rock and pass it around and say, "I am the rock, you are the rock, take the rock." And this is just a ritual to bond with the rock. But essentially what you would do is take the rock and hold it in your hands. And at some point, you would put into the rock anything that was bugging you. You pour into that rock all your fear, all your anger, all your anxiety, anything that's bothering you at the time. And you do this until the rock is full. And I'm going to tell you, don't do this too much or you'll drain yourself. It's like pulling the plug on a sink. You'll just pour yourself into it. But pick up the rock, hold it in your hand or both hands, and when things are getting too much for you, you know, you're healing from something, you're healing from a hurt, pour it into that rock. Pour it into the rock. And that rock will hold it all. If you feel like you need to discharge the rock, take it outside in the sun and shake it. Put it out in the moonlight, shake it. Put it out in the sun, shake it. Let the rock, think of it as a sponge. It's a sponge that you pour anxiety, pour hate, pour anger, pour hurt. Somebody hurt you, you're in a relationship, you're hurt, you got a broken heart, pour it into that. You're angry over something, pour it into that rock. You're holding on to stuff, you got stuff you're holding on to, you can't let it go, pour it, give it to the rock. Give it to the rock. Say, "Rock, take it, put it into the rock." So that's our crystal of the week. A rock. That's all it is, a rock. You don't have to go spend a lot of money on it. You can probably just go outside some business that has, I think it's size four or five landscaping stone. Been down to pick up a calcite, just a big river rock, and put it in your pocket and walk away with it. You know, let the world offer it to you. Tonight we're talking about healing. We're reading from Inner Secrets of Psychology by C. Alexander Conlin, our great founder of the Crystal Silence League. And I want to read to you just a little bit and comment with pithy commentation by John St. Germain, The Practice of Mental Healing. There's a chapter before this that tells us in great detail with scientific quotes what we already know today, and that is there is a significant and unbreakable link between mental states and physical health. We know that anxiety, anger, guilt, and shame and such negative emotions can affect our health in a very bad way. Mr. Conlon points out here where fear and anxiety and anger in a mother can poison breast milk in a baby, can turn it sour, where blood pressure, where gastric juices, where the heart action can be affected by joy, shame, anger, things like this. We know this. We know this now. This is common knowledge now. It was not common knowledge back then in the 20s. It was not common knowledge. This was very new information to people reading this. So what we find is that in the preceding chapter, he says, he's given the essential and fundamental secret of mental healing, which is, one, the creation and maintenance of the right mental image of the normal condition desired, and two, the arousing and maintenance of the right belief, that is, faith, confidence, anticipation, expectation of the realization of the desired result. I want to comment about that a little bit. You know, there's this much underrated phenomenon called the placebo effect. And sometimes people sneer at that. They'll say often things like crystal healing, and a lot of the quote-unquote New Age stuff is the placebo effect. Well, that's just the placebo effect. Do you know in studies of some drug trials, they'll say that the patient, the control group, had a 25% improvement, but the placebo group had a 20% improvement in symptoms, and they dismiss it. Do you know that a 20% improvement is clinically significant? Do you know that if the medicine produced 25%, and pure mental power produced 20% improvement, and some skeptic goes, well, that's just the placebo effect. What do you mean that's just the placebo effect? And people who say that's just the placebo effect do not know what that is. The placebo effect is anticipation and expectation, which triggers the body's natural healing mechanism, which is not really that well understood. In fact, some of the cutting-edge medicine techniques, cures for cancer and stuff, is working along the lines of training the body itself to fight cancer, not giving it chemicals and stuff, but just teaching the body how to focus and treat disease, because antibiotics and stuff train germs on to become stronger. We have germ-resistant disease because of antibiotics. The cutting edge stuff is training the body how to fight the germs itself. So the placebo effect is confidence, anticipation, and expectation. That's what the placebo effect is. It's not something that we should disregard. And in fact, every medical treatment that you've ever had that's successful, 20 to 25% of it is placebo effect. Placebo effect cannot be divorced from any treatment. Every pill you take, aspirin, everything you take has placebo effect built into it. So if the clinical trial, if a medicine is 25% effective and the placebo is 20% effective, then friends, that medicine was 5% effective because the other 20% was placebo. That's just simple math. So faith, confidence, anticipation, expectation. That's what the placebo effect is. It's the body's natural healing mechanism brought in by the mental confidence that you can get better. I've always believed this. I believe that if you put a person in an environment that encourages healing, they will get better mentally and physically. If you take someone who's been in a broken home, in an abusive home, and put them in a healthy home, I believe the body has a natural mechanism. The body and mind has a natural mechanism that wants to heal. Now, not always. there are some people broken beyond repair, and they need professional intervention. But if you're not too far gone, you're not too far broken, I believe the body will heal itself. Now, he goes on to say, upon these two foundation stones rest all the various methods and systems of mental healing. The rest is merely a matter of applying the mental force thus aroused and of following the most efficient methods of directing it. The success of the mental healer of any school depends entirely upon his ability to rouse in the mind of his patient the desired mental image, to create in the feeling nature of the patient the desired belief, faith, hope, and expectation, and to direct properly the mental force and power thus aroused. Now, he says, in presenting to you the most approved method of applying the forces of mental healing, I'll begin by pointing out to you the methods to be applied in what is called auto-healing, that is, the healing of one's own self. The principle involved in auto-healing is precisely the same as that employed in the healing of other persons. If you master the principles of auto-healing by mental force, you'll have no trouble in applying the same principles to the healing of other persons. Moreover, the person who has applied the principles and methods to himself has entered into a closer and more real understanding of them than otherwise would be the case, and as a consequence, he's able to apply them to the treatment of other persons with far greater success than he could attain were he lacking in that close and personal understanding. So, he says, in the first place, you should cultivate and practice the art of clear and strong visualization, or the formation of mental pictures or mental images. This requires the use of the will, applied in concentrated attention, and the imagination or image-creating faculty of the mind, applied in forming the mental picture or image. The reason why you should cultivate and develop this art of visualization is this. Your mental image or ideal of the desired physical condition is the mold, pattern, or framework for the materialization of the physical condition. The picture of the desired mental condition must first exist in your mind before it can be reproduced and reflected in and by your physical organism. Therefore, you must strive to make those mental pictures or ideals as strong and as clear as possible in order to obtain a strong and clear physical reflection or representation thereof. A moment's thought will show you the reasonableness of this statement. And therefore, when you create a strong and clear mental picture or ideal of a desired physical result, you erect and establish it in your conscious mind and imagination, then without any effort on your part, except perhaps a little will punch, the subconscious mind appropriates the ideal picture and establishes it in its own field of operations. Thus established in the subconscious mind, the mental picture or ideal becomes really the pattern, followed by the subconscious mind and its physical instruments and associated intelligences in the cells and organs, and its manifestation of power, control, and direction in and of the physical body. Fix this in your mind. The process is as follows. 1. You create the mental image or ideal in your conscious mind and imagination. Then, 2. Your subconscious mind, the process is as follows. 1. You create image or ideal and establish it in your own realm below the level of consciousness. Then 3. The subconscious mind and its associated organ minds and cell minds proceed to build and operate the physical organism in accordance with the ideal working plan, which has been furnished it in the shape and form of your mental picture or ideal. Quite simple when you once see it this way, isn't it? When you once get this idea well fixed in your mind, you will find that you can supply the principle far better than before you had grasped the idea. You will find that by far the best method of producing concentrated attention and effective visualization is that, and here's a drum roll for you, I have explained at length in the scientific reasons for this, the office of the crystal ball in the first volume of this series of lessons, the volume entitled Creative Thought Power, Crystal Gazing. And we shall return after station identification.
You are listening to the LMC Radio Network, whose art and information may be found on its webcast shows. The LMC Radio Network is a community radio alliance of metaphysical, spiritual, inspirational, and political justice broadcasters spanning a wide range of topics. Tune in Sundays for the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie. It features panel discussions on traditional African-American hoodoo spellcasting with members of the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, plus free readings and magical rootwork advice for live call-in clients. The longest-running conjure show in the universe, it may be heard from 3 o'clock to 4:30 Pacific Time, Sunday afternoons. On Mondays, get ready for Candelo's Corner, starring Candelo Cambisa. This is the meeting place for all esoteric traditions. Candelo brings his insight as a Polero and eclectic spiritualist to his interviews with peers in Afro-Caribbean lineages, as well as representatives of numerous other spiritualities and religions. You can hear Candelo's Corner Monday evenings from 5 to 7 Pacific Time. Tuesdays bring two wonderful shows to suit your taste. After the spiritual boost provided by the Reverend John St. Germain during the Crystal Silence League Hour, stay tuned for In the Streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly provides up-to-the-minute reports on civil and social rights issues. Her one-hour show airs on Tuesday evenings at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. On Wednesday nights, come out and join Liquid Libations. Andrea Weston hosts this informal sharing and showcasing of poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances, contributed by novices and professional wordsmiths. Call in and read your work. Liquid Libations may be heard on Wednesdays from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. On Thursdays, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. In a variety show laced with country wit and biblical wisdom, the professor shares his knowledge of roots, delivers the lucky numbers, and explores the secrets of scriptural sorcery. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, there's no end to the surprises. And on Saturdays, Kai Armand broadcasts On Sacred Ground, a tapestry of our times comprising history, ethnography, and shamanism, featuring the voices of the land and the deceased, aided by scholars, spirit workers, and environmentalists. Kai's show airs from noon to 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time. All shows on the LMC Radio Network are sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, located in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. Add 3 hours for Eastern, tax and license may apply, train departure times and Burma shave signs subject to change without notice. LMC.
And we're back after our mighty LMC Radio Network lineup. We dominate the airwaves. Returning to our readings from Inner Secrets of Psychology, Volume 4, The Practice of Mental Healing. Mr. Conlon tells us that the crystal ball has no magic power in itself. Its sole virtue consists of its adaptability to the task of concentrating and focusing the power of the mind for the purpose of creating the visualized mental pictures of desired things, conditions, and results. That alone is worth keeping in mind. We sometimes tend to idolize the crystal ball as a magical object. Its sole virtue consists of its adaptability to the task of concentrating and focusing the power of the mind for the purpose of creating the visualized image, mental pictures of desired things, conditions, and results. By the practice of gazing into it intently, with concentrated attention, after first throwing the mind blank, or entering the silence, and then forming in your mind the mental picture, image, or ideal of the desired physical conditions, the physical functioning or activity that represents the normal, natural, healthy condition, you really create that strong and clear mental image or ideal which is afterward taken over by the subconscious mind and then employed as a pattern for its direction of and manifestation in the physical body. When the physical body responds to this direction and control, and this it must and will do if you perform your work properly, then the condition of normal, natural, healthy functioning of your physical organs, parts, and system will result in a logical consequence. The general rule is this: see yourself, picture yourself, visualize yourself in the crystal ball as you wish to become. See your organs functioning properly, normally, and naturally, following the course which I have described to you in the preceding lessons, and thus producing a good, healthy condition of the body. Make the mental picture represent exactly, fully, and completely the physical condition that you wish to be manifested in your body. Realize that you're supplying the subconscious mind with the pattern of a desired condition or state, and try to make the pattern or picture as clear, as strong, and as real and lifelike as possible. I may add here that nature, in the first place, through ages of evolution and experience through ancestral forms, has originally supplied the subconscious mind with the right mental pattern. But you and many other persons have been misled and sidetracked by suggestions and ideas, by wrong information, by fears and dread arising from various outside causes, so that you have supplanted the original mental patterns by your newly acquired ones, which have been all wrong in many cases. Listen to the words of Mr. Conlon. Speak it, brother, speak it. It's true today as it was then. The subconscious mind has accepted these wrong pictures and patterns as valid and real, and has blindly proceeded to manifest along these lines, hence your lack of health and your condition of disease! Exclamation point, he puts. Your task then is now to re-educate your subconscious mind and supply it with new and right patterns and ideals, and thus to have it manifest its power along the right lines. This is the work that you should accomplish by the aid of the crystal ball. Having grasped the idea just presented, you must then emerge and energize and animate your mental picture or idea with firm belief, faith, hope, expectation of the good anticipation of the right result. This you should be able to do by reference to what I have shown you to be the facts of the case on the statements of eminent scientific authority. Moreover, when you get your mind centered and concentrated on the subject, you will find that you will have opened up to yourself a peculiar channel of knowledge, which may be called instinctive or intuitive. You'll begin to feel beyond doubt, and with surety, sure that mind has an influence over the body and is able to work upon the latter for your good. More than this, you'll begin to feel a dawning and awakening sense of your fundamental unity with nature and of the fact that nature has your good at heart and is really beneficent and well-disposed toward you. And now, he goes from the mundane to the sublime. Listen to the words of Mr. Conlon. The great philosophical and religious teachers of all times, all lands, all schools of belief have agreed upon the fundamental teaching that faith is a mighty dynamic power. All the occultists hold likewise. There is, in the mental attitude of faith, a certain power to establish a contact with the mighty forces of life, which are present in all nature. And in this contact serves to place in one tune with these great sources of power, force, and energy. This result of faith is seen to come to those who set its force into operation, no matter what may be the particular object of that faith, no matter what by name they call it. There is seen in the operation a power which is above all names and schools of opinion, something fundamental, universal, and open to the call of all. A writer along these lines has said, there exists in nature a dynamic life principle which pervades all space, is immanent in all things, which manifests in an infinite variety of forms, degrees, and phases. This energy, force of power, is no respecter of persons. Its service, like that of the sun and rain, and all natural forces, is open to all. It responds to the proper efforts, no matter by whom exerted, or under what theory or form or belief it is called for. It is called forth by what are known to us as desire, will, and imagination. He should have added, and above all, in response to that which is, we know as faith. Supreme power and wisdom govern the universe. Supreme mind is measureless and pervades endless space. Supreme wisdom, power, and intelligence are in everything that exists, from the atom to the planet. Supreme power has us in charge, as it has the suns and endless systems of the world and space. As we grow more to recognize this sublime and exhaustless wisdom, we shall learn more and more to demand that wisdom, draw it to ourselves, and thereby be ever making ourselves newer and newer. This means ever perfecting health, greater and greater power to enjoy all that exists, gradual transition into a higher state of being, and the development of powers which we do not now realize as belonging to us. let us then daily demand faith, for faith is the power to believe, and power to see that all things are parts of the infinite, that all things have the infinite in them, and that all things, when recognized by us as parts of the infinite, must work for our good. And I think I'm going to stop there in this reading, because, my goodness, who can go beyond that? We'll pick up some more reading on Mr. Conlon's mental health next week, I think. And I want to talk to you a little bit now. We'll talk about chakras and some discussion about that. One of the questions we got, by the way, people have been asking me questions about the chakras. We got some questions about some of the discussions we had. He mentions divine mind and universal mind, and we got some questions about that. One of the things that we talked about, Mr. Atkinson pointed out, was that thought, once projected, takes on a life of its own. It is permanent. Thoughts are permanent. Thoughts have endurance, and thoughts collect, so that similar thoughts tend to collect together. Do you remember that? We said if you have thoughts of love, they're attracted to and attract by other thoughts of love, and that these thoughts endure and attract other thoughts. And so we had proposed a model of divine mind where there were networks of thought, vast networks of thought that existed, that divine mind was the collected network of thoughts of every sentient being that has ever existed and ever will exist. These thoughts that existed. So I got an interesting question. Someone said, well, if everything that we throw out into the silence comes back to us, and if everything that we think has permanent existence and lives forever virtually, does all that doubt and fear and anxiety that we had before, is it going to come back to us even when we start practicing wholesome thinking and powerful thinking? And the answer to that is yes. Yes, it will. It will come back to you. But there's hope. There is hope. And that is the law of dilution. I'm going to call it the law of dilution. And yes, any doubt, fears, anxiety, bad deeds, you can't escape it. You cannot escape that the fruits of your actions will come back. That's the law of karma. And but I will tell you that there is a great deal of hope. And the hope to that is there's a principle that that the Buddha taught, and I can do no better than to really give you his take on that. The Buddha was teaching his monks about karma, and he said, "Monks, let me tell you a story." And I'm greatly simplifying this. Buddha said in a sutta called the Salt Crystal Sutta, and you can look that up online if you like. Suppose a man were to throw a salt crystal into a bowl of water. It's called the Lonafala Sutta, the Lonafala Sutta, and it's in the Anguttara Nikaya, which is a huge collection of books, and he talks about trifling evil deeds performed by different people, and he said, suppose a man were to drop a salt crystal into a small amount of water in a cup. What do you think? Would that water in a cup become too salty to drink because of the salt crystal? Would it be unfit to drink? And his monk said, well, yes, sir. There being only a small amount of water in the cup, it'd be too salty to drink because of the salt crystal. It'd be unfit to drink. And he said, well, suppose that a man were to drop a salt crystal into the river Ganges. What do you think? Would the water in the river Ganges become too salty because of the salt crystal and unfit to drink? And they said, well, no, sir. There being a great mass of water in the river Ganges, it would not become salty because of the salt crystal and unfit to drink. And the Buddha said, in the same way, there's a case where a trifling evil deed by one individual takes him to hell, and the case where the very same sort of trifling evil deed done by another individual is experienced in the here and now, and for the most part, barely appears for a moment. And in the context of the talk, what he was talking about was that if there's a person who is of low conduct, it doesn't take a whole lot to send him to hell or basically to live a low life. If your life consists of bad action, a little bit of salt, if you're already putting salt in a little bit of, if you don't do very many good deeds, a little bit of salt's going to make your life salty. If your life is mostly good deeds, a little bit of salt's going to get lost. So maybe up to now you've had a life that was marked by desperation. As soon as you start performing a more refined act, where your actions are more refined, your intention is more pure, you start eliminating the fear, you start eliminating the anxiety, you start eliminating all of that, you start doing confidence, you start projecting more power, that desperation is going to be like that salt crystal in the River Ganges. Yes, it's going to come back. The karma of that's going to come back, but it's going to be swept away by the mighty wholesomeness, by the mighty power that you're attracting to yourself. Remember, the thoughts that you send out link with other thoughts. So that anxiety, that fear, that other stuff is going to be attracted to the other thoughts of similar nature and cling to those, where the mighty powerful thoughts of love, goodness, compassion are going to be linked to the more powerful thoughts thereof and come back to you like the mighty Ganges and wipe away that little bit of salt. You can't escape the fruits of your actions, but you can wash them, you can dilute them, a little bit of salt, a whole lot of water. What you don't want is a whole lot of salt and a little bit of water. So live the life of goodness. Let the desperation go behind you. In other words, let the past be the past, and the fruits of the past will be left behind in the mighty goodness of the present and the future. So I hope that answers that question adequately. The salt crystal sutta is a very good one if you want to know more about karma than you'll ever use in your life. We have about 12 minutes, and I'd like to pick up the discussion of chakras, which we talked about last week. You really can't talk about energy healing of any sort without going into chakras, and we talked last week about the seven chakras of the body and how they were energy vortexes located along the central channel of the body, just from head to your booty. And there are two ways. I'm going to give you a model of how chakras misbehave. They can be overactive or underactive, and they can be open or closed, etc. But overactive and underactive is a good way to do it. And to tell whether they're overactive or underactive is fairly simple. With practice, there are certain symptoms associated with it. And there are a lot of ways to treat it. There's meditation, energy work, massage, essential oils, diet. Vedic medicine has all sorts of ways. But we're going to talk about crystals and crystal balls. Now, we know from long ago that spiritual, emotional, and physical states are closely interrelated. So there are physical and emotional symptoms of chakra imbalances. As a rule, I leave physical treatment to doctors. I don't treat physical. I don't diagnose and I don't treat physical illnesses. First of all, to do so is illegal. I'm not licensed to do that. I'm not a doctor. I can't do that. If I do, I'm breaking the law. So if people say to me, I have cancer, can you treat that? No. Go to the doctor. I can support medical treatment. If someone's already seeing a doctor, I will support it, but I'm not going to do it. However, the spiritual realm is my domain, and I will stand on my ground there. I will treat spiritual. So what we find is that here's some common issues that are associated with the chakras. Traditionally, root chakras imbalances can produce problems in the legs and feet, knees, lower back, lower digestive system, immune system, and genitals. So if someone's having medical issues there, they're being treated by a doctor, you might support that with treating the chakras with crystals. Now, underactive chakras produce emotional problems, such as insecurities involving money, insecurities involving shelter, trust issues, and issues involving security. Overactive chakras of the root chakras produce emotional problems such as overspending, greed, gambling addiction, and inappropriate need for others to rely on you. You know, control freakism, basically. Rambling men syndrome, you know, you're restless and you can't stay in one place too long. Arrogance and rootlessness. Now, if you balance this chakra, it helps with your self-confidence and it helps you with that feeling of being rooted and grounded. The sacral chakra, which is the one that's under your navel, those imbalances can include sexual and reproductive issues, urinary problems, kidney dysfunctions, hip, pelvic, and low back pain. The underactive chakra in the sacral area can produce emotional imbalances involving relationship commitments, actually commitment to anything, and emotional expression. There can be difficulties acting spontaneously. Your creativity can be blocked. Your inability to experience pleasure, sexual hang-ups, fears of impotency and betrayal, addiction problems. If that chakra is overactive, the emotional issues can involve hypersexuality, stubbornness, dogmatic inflexibility. You know, once I've made up my mind, that's it. Engaging in risky or dangerous activities, obsessive behaviors. And if you balance that chakra, there's an ability to take acceptable risks. You know, a new relationship, you know, try something new. Be creative, stay committed to a course of action, and you become capable of a good, passionate, expressive relationships, you know, personal and professional and, you know, all areas. The solar plexus chakra, you know, where you get punched in the gut, they can include digestive problems, liver, stomach, pancreas, gallbladder, colon issues. It can sometimes contribute to high blood pressure and diabetes. The emotional problems related to the underactive solar plexus chakra can include low self-esteem, fear of rejection, feelings of alienation. If it's overactive, it can lead to grandiose ideations. Do you know what that is? That's when you feel you overrate your abilities. You know, you think you're much better than you are at things. Overinflated ego, boundary issues, where you assume you take for granted that people want you closer to them than they really do. When the chakra is balanced, self-esteem can be raised and self-acceptance restored to good health, and feelings of control and assertiveness are raised. The heart chakra imbalances can include asthma, other lung problems, heart disease, breast, upper back, shoulder, arm and wrist problems. Emotional issues related to underactive heart chakra can include codependency, jealousy, anger, passive aggressiveness, abandonment fears. When the heart chakra is overactive, it can cause love too much syndrome. You know those books, Women Who Love Too Much and The Men Who Love Them, Men Who Love Too Much, and the Dogs Who Love Them. Painful compassion, that's when you hurt too much. You know, you just bleed, your heart bleeds. Hyper empathy, that's when you feel what everybody's feeling. You're just too empathetic. When this chakra is balanced, feelings of happiness, gratitude, love, and trust are consistent and powerful. Throat chakra imbalances are very interesting. The sore throat, laryngitis, ear infections, teeth grinding, especially TMJ, thyroid problems. The emotional issues are very interesting. The underactive throat chakra can include communication problems, especially speaking the truth. The emotional issues related to overactive throat chakra can involve talking too much, over-disclosure, you know, TMI, too much information, inability to hold onto secrets, gossiping and rumor-mongering, and oddly enough, talking in your sleep. And when that chakra is balanced, words flow freely and clearly. Self-expression is very good. Third eye chakra imbalances include headaches, sinus problems, eye strain, loss of hearing. Emotional imbalances there can relate to an underactive third eye, include moodiness, a tendency to isolate, and narcissism. If it's overactive, the third eye can lead to hallucinations, overanalysis, and fantasy-prone thinking, and overactive imagination. When that chakra is balanced, there's wisdom and clear thinking and insight. Crown chakra imbalances, it's hard to separate over and active. But it can include depression, mental fogginess, delusions, sensitivity to light and sound. Emotional issues related to the underactive crown chakra can include prejudice, religious or political extremism, intolerance, and rigid thinking of all kinds. Overactivity of the crown chakra can lead to spontaneous spiritual experiences, out-of-body experiences, anhedonia, asocial behavior, disillusionment with people and society. And when it's balanced, it inspires a more tolerant, open-minded attitude and a well-adjusted social life. Now, usually, most of us have one or more chakras out of tune. And when any one chakra is blocked or out of balance, underactive or overactive, the other chakras will try to overcompensate. And that's why most of us have multiple issues. You know, you might, for instance, you might have trust issues and also have an ability to, you might have trust issues and also overanalyze. You're overcompensating. So treatment often involves, first of all, doing an overall cleansing of the chakras, an overall balancing of the chakras, and then treating specific chakras. And the first thing you want to do is use a stone. I like to use a black stone to just go over and go over the entire body and use and detox the body, do a relaxation, and then specifically isolate the offending chakras. Now, we know that different sets of crystals are believed to harmonize with each chakra, and each chakra harmonizes with a different color, and that's very interesting for those who work crystal balls. Now, usually treatments will take more time, and several sessions are required to get those. You don't want to do it all at once. It can be jarring. You know, to go from one emotional state to another can be very jarring. So you place the appropriate healing crystal near or over the chakra. If you treat the heart chakra, you might use rose quartz or pink tourmaline or a bloodstone. Or you might place all three of them in a ring around the chakra. Or something I've done is you put three stones around the chakra and balance a crystal ball over, on the stones over the chakra. And I can give you a big list of stones here. We don't really have time. I'll do this some other time. A big list of stones that are really good for each chakra. And I keep these in little bags and things. But I use harmonizing stones for overactive or for underactive chakras. And I use stones of a complementary color for overactive chakras. And this is something that I've never heard of anyone else doing. And I'll probably have to get into that next week. But, you know, complementary colors, if you look on a color wheel, the complementary colors are those that strobe or complement. And, green and orange, blue and yellow, or a violet and yellow, orange and green, etc. These are complementary colors, so you use the complementary color to cool down a chakra, to bring it down, because complementary colors, when you mix them, neutralize each other, they turn gray. And this is a technique that I'll get into next week. We only have about 30 seconds. So next week we'll continue our discussion of healing, the transformative branch, using crystals and stones and the power of the mind itself for healing. If you do this right, you'll have wonderful tools to heal yourself and to heal your friends. So do join us next week. I'm John St. Germain, the voice of the Crystal Silence League. This is Crystal Silence League Hour. Stay tuned for In the Streets of Beverly Smith coming up right after the show. Thanks for joining us. Do have a blessed evening and a blessed week, and join us next week. Thank you very much.